ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you want to be stopped in your tracks.
I'm running to shoot it. It's 50-50. You can catch his gun or he shoot you.
When you want to know the truth.
She was brainwashing her from the start.
We're here to investigate.
Something's gone wrong. Big time.
Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dun, dun, dun. After a series of three rate hikes this year, the RBA has announced that it will hold rates, a decision that was in line with both predictions from economists and the market. So are mortgage holders out of the woods? And what does today's decision tell us about the RBA's take on the health of the economy? Welcome to ABC Business Daily. I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm ABC News business editor Michael Yander.
Happy Rates Day.
It is a very happy day if you've got a mortgage like I do.
I think there is a lot of relief around the country right now. I could almost feel people exhaling when we had the decision that they weren't going to hike this time around. We're not at the RBA this time around because we don't have the statement of monetary policy accompanying this decision. So we haven't, as last time, been sitting in a room for a couple of hours trying to get our head around the forecast.
Yeah, we're reading one page today instead of 70-odd.
That was the extent of our reading material, which was nice, but it would actually be helpful to have a little bit more of an understanding of exactly what was guiding this decision. It was what was predicted, Michael. The statement kind of, I think, does lay out the case for why the Reserve Bank has decided they can afford to wait a little bit to decide on whether or not they need to go further. But what was your immediate standout from that statement?
Yeah, I've used this analogy a few times because I had a grandmother who loved cliched sayings, and one of her favourites was "a stitch in time saves nine." And that's definitely been the motto the Reserve Bank's taken this time round. In fact, three interest rate hikes this year.
They've hiked a lot of stitches.
A lot of stitches, a lot of pain from those stitches for a lot of mortgage borrowers. But, you know, they think they've got ahead of the curve. I think this time, unlike post-COVID with the Ukraine war, where they fell behind the curve and it was generally considered that they acted a bit too slowly to respond to that, what was perceived to be a transitory inflation breakout. But having done rate hikes at every single meeting so far up till today, I think they thought they've bought themselves some time to sit and have a look at the data. The next meeting's not until August, and we'll have two fresh inflation reads and two reads on the unemployment rate before then. And the RBA can sit down in August and make a decision based on where the economy's tracking.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it is interesting to me that this decision was unanimous. The last meeting where they hiked, it was 8-1. The meeting before that, it was 5-4. So they've actually moved more and more in line with each other. The next lot of data will obviously be critical. I think the recent data on the unemployment rate, they do mention it. So that was an increase in the unemployment rate, still 4.5%, still pretty low in historical terms in the last few decades. But the trend has been more people being unemployed. So That is something I think they're keeping a wary eye on. They do not want Australia to go into recession, and so they want to be careful about just how quickly they're hiking. But again, the focus really is on the inflation rate, isn't it? They're talking about it's still uncomfortably high for them, well above the target range, both in the headline figure and then the trimmed mean. But they are waiting to see whether or not the three hikes they've already imposed on the Australian economy, whether or not they are starting to have an impact in that headline figure and that trim mean figure.
Yeah, and the key point here is that interest rates, both cuts and hikes, operate with a lag, which the Reserve Bank in previous research has estimated to be somewhere between 12 and 18 months to get the full effect of a rate move, because it operates through several channels. So you get quicker effects through household spending based on how much people are paying out of their mortgage. But even that takes 2 or 3 months to filter through from from a rate hike till when your minimum repayment actually goes up with the bank. And that starts coming out of your account, meaning you have less money to spend. You've got the exchange rate effects, and they take months to have their full effect because exporters are bringing in products that they're not planning to sell, you know, for several months because they've got to ship them in, all these things. So whichever channel you look at for interest rate policy, it does take time. They're already seeing, you know, probably the most immediate effect you get from rate hikes is the confidence effect. And we've certainly seen confidence, which was already pretty weak, fall off a bit of a cliff since the Reserve Bank started hiking in February. And so I think it is appropriate. I mean, personal view is it probably would have been appropriate for them to wait before this because they've done three in a row. It's quite a lot. But definitely now I think they probably feel it's compulsory for them to wait and see what's going to happen before they add another potential rate hike to the mix.
Now, you mentioned confidence, that they did note that growth in consumer spending is slowing as expected, also pointing out momentum in the housing market has shifted with housing prices falling in some capital cities. Now, this is really fascinating to me because, yes, confidence has taken a hit. People are spending less. They're also spending less because they are worried about paying more for their mortgages, even if it takes a couple of months. But they are also concerned, many people are concerned, about seeing one of their biggest wealth creators and a store of wealth in the housing market starting to look a little bit shaky.
Well, it's another channel of monetary policy, the wealth effect.
Exactly.
And the effect that has on people's
spending. And so there's a few things going on. It's not just about interest rate hikes. There's also obviously both the speculation and now the government announcement on changes to negative gearing and the capital gains tax discount. So there's a few things happening in the property market, but it means people are starting to look at their balance sheet, looking at how much their house is worth, and maybe that means they're less likely to go out and spend on things that they aren't necessarily a need, more discretionary spending. So that is interesting, and I think that they are noting that. And again, it hasn't been a full collapse, but those signs, yes, that's what they want. They want an element of less demand in the economy because that's going to lead to lower inflation, but they don't want so much so that the economy comes to a screeching halt.
Not too much too quickly. And I mean, again, it's not just the wealth effect from housing prices. And, you know, I've asked Michelle Bullock several times at press conferences and, you know, spoken to Philip Lowe as well, her predecessor. I mean, the Reserve Bank will always tell you they don't target housing prices. It's not in their mandate. But Australia's economy is houses and holes. So inevitably, if you're managing the macro economy of Australia, you care about housing prices. And particularly when your only lever for managing the economy relates to interest rates, and by far the most immediate impact of interest rate moves in a country that overwhelmingly has variable mortgage rates is on the housing market. And that's exactly what we've seen. Because whatever effect the tax changes that are planned have had on the housing market, the downturn was well underway and has been since, if not before, but certainly since the Reserve Bank started raising interest rates in February. And it has, aside from that wealth effect, effects because transaction volumes are likely to fall in the housing market. If people are buying fewer homes, there's less moving. There's less commissions going to agents that they then spend in the economy. It's this circulation of money. So it does have a lot of flow-on effects, and the housing market is a key channel for monetary policy in Australia, and I think that's reflected in the statement.
Interesting commentary around the Middle East war. I mean, obviously this stuff has had to be updated to accompany the decision. The language they use is resolution of the conflict in the Middle East is at an early stage, and there are plausible scenarios where inflation is higher and activity lower than envisaged under the May baseline forecast. Also pointing out global oil supply issues will take some time to resolve, maintaining upward pressure on global energy prices and inflation. So yes, we are hearing positive news about a pathway to peace. Is it a peace deal? Is it a ceasefire extension? You know, choose your language. But they are obviously highlighting what many analysts are suggesting, which is we just don't know how this will actually play out. Donald Trump might talk about let the oil flow, claiming that we're already starting to ships move through the strait. Iran saying it's not open yet. we'll see. It's a lot of mixed messages coming. But even if we start, even if it's the Strait of Hormuz is cleared of mines and insurance companies don't hike premiums up to an extraordinary level, and there's and shipping companies are willing to actually do it.
Yeah, Western shipping companies are willing to potentially do business with the Iranian government and risk sanctions.
Exactly. If all those things come to pass, there are still major concerns about how quickly we can see a restoration of oil, because in part there's damage to infrastructure in the Gulf, in energy infrastructure, and we're just not sure how bad it actually is and how quickly that can be returned to anything approaching normal.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of good notes on this, one from Halima Croft at RBC Capital Markets, the global head of commodity strategies, always very much on the pulse, and particularly in the geopolitics of the Middle East, which is an area of expertise for her. And as she points out, even in the Red Sea, shipping is still down 50% on what it was pre the attacks from the rebels on shipping in that area, even though there's a deal that's been in place for a couple of years to guarantee safety of shipping. Again, because many companies are risk averse. Insurance, no doubt, is more expensive on the chance that there will be further attacks. She actually thinks that we may have seen peak Hormuz, that shipping will never recover, oil and gas shipping will never recover to pre-war levels, because Iran has now asserted its control, or at least a high degree of control, over the Strait of Hormuz. And so, you know, there's no going back. We won't see that peak level of pre-war oil shipments coming out via that channel. And, you know, there will need to be some rerouting of supplies from different regions. And as you say, there's the damage to infrastructure and there's the gas. We know from Qatar that, you know, about 3.5 to 4% of global LNG output is out of action for several years while they repair Ras Laffan. So this is not done yet.
It's important to point out, we are speaking before Michelle Bullock, the governor of the Reserve Bank, holds her press conference, which is one of the innovations that happened after the review into the RBA. So we're basing this all on a statement. She may give us some more insight into her thinking and the board's thinking when she speaks. But I think it's fair to say that people were waiting to see whether or not there would still be either a tightening bias or an easing bias in this particular statement. I think it's fair to say, based on the last sentence, that there is still a tightening bias, because they state, "It will do what it considers necessary to achieve that outcome, including increasing the cash rate target further if required." The key word there, increasing. So it looks like the Reserve Bank is still focused very much on the inflationary problem. And although we now have this divergence among many leading economists about which move will be next, where Westpac's still the holdout at this point until they can send us an update suggesting we've got two further rate hikes, three out of the other three big banks, chief economists all believe that this is the peak of this particular cycle. The next move will be down. But I think the Reserve Bank there is indicating that they're open to another hike. They're not yet thinking about cuts.
And I think, Carrington, you'd say even those three banks that are now saying we're probably done with interest rate hikes, if you talk to their economics teams, they would say if there was to be another move in 2026,
right,
it's more likely to be up than down. So they don't expect the Reserve Bank to have to move rates higher than they are now to, say, 4.6%, up from 4.35 as the cash rate is currently. But no one is really talking seriously about rate cuts this year. I mean, things can change very quickly, and they already have over the past few weeks with those banks taking out rate hikes from their forecasts. But we're talking 2027 in their view before we start to see interest rate reductions, you know, perhaps not even in the first part of 2027. So if you've got a mortgage out there, it's certainly not like there's a bunch of economists saying you can expect rate cuts this year. The best view from your point of view out there is that the Reserve Bank's probably done, and maybe sometime next year we'll see them start to ease rates a bit again.
So we've just hit just after 3 p.m. here in Sydney. I'm time-saving that in particular because I'm watching my inbox. What we have is this kind of flurry of notes. You kind of get right when the decision's made, you get a flurry of notes that have obviously been pre-written with not a huge amount of insight normally into anyone changing their position particularly. So I'm waiting to see if this statement actually forces a change in position for any of the big economists in particular about whether or not there is enough new information in there for someone to change their decision. Now, I think normally with the big banks, they take a little bit longer to actually make a major
pivot.
There's
a bit of
like
bureaucracy,
that.
I think, for the bigger institutions
exactly.
that isn't there for some of the small independent analysts.
Exactly. So we'll wait to see if that comes through as we watch. But the next meeting, which I think is, again, a live meeting, meaning that it's possible that we will see a rate hike or some sort of action from the Reserve Bank, is August. As you point out, a lot of data, important data before that, including those two inflation reads and two unemployment reads. What are you thinking right now based on this statement? Is there still a real chance, and particularly because we have the updated statement of monetary policy, new forecast from the Reserve Bank, do you think there is a real possibility that we could see another hike the 4th of this year at that August meeting?
Look, I think we still have a fairly, what economists call, hawkish Reserve Bank. They've been burned by their experience in 2021-22 as inflation started to take off and they were late to the party globally in raising interest rates. And I think once bitten, twice shy. We've seen that through the rapid fire three interest rate hikes to start this year. They're taking a pause now, but if there are signs that inflation is getting worse rather than getting better, then I think we would see another rate hike in August. I think the expectation, though, is things from here hopefully will improve. We've got a baked-in reduction in electricity prices to come in from July 1, so that's a major positive. If this deal holds, we're likely to see further reductions in crude oil prices. And even where we are now, if the federal government took away the excise cut, didn't renew it, we're not going to see a major spike in inflation because of that, because of how much oil and fuel prices are coming back towards pre-war levels, still a little bit higher. But the market is pricing about a 30% chance. And that, interestingly, that those odds did not change from before the meeting, immediately before the meeting, to straight after. People would have read this one-page statement. Traders didn't immediately change their view about that 30% chance of a rate hike in August, slightly better than 50% chance of one more rate hike in this cycle. So the markets currently are pricing in a peak cash rate of just over 4.5%, which is 15 basis points, 0.15 of a percentage point, higher than where we are now. But, you know, it's a pretty 50-50 call whether we see another rate hike in terms of where the big money is moving on financial markets.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we did really see a major change in a lot of the economists' view about the possibility of a further hike. I do wonder how they're going to interpret this statement from the Reserve Bank. I'm also very interested to see exactly what Michelle Bullock has to say accompanying this statement. I think they don't like to surprise markets, and there's normally they don't want to shock people with decisions. So it'll be interesting to see how far she goes in illustrating perhaps a further tightening bias in the statement.
And you can't underestimate jawboning as well. Like, they want to convince people that we're not necessarily done yet. Don't go out and spend. Don't assume that your mortgage is not going to go up. I mean, just to give people some context, particularly people who don't have a mortgage and don't actually see this in their bank account, but if you do have a $600,000 mortgage, you are paying $92 a month more every time the Reserve Bank hikes rates by a quarter of a percentage point. That's not small change. If you've got a $1 million mortgage, which isn't uncommon in a lot of the big cities in Australia and even in some of the regions, that's $153 a month that comes out of your bank account with every single rate increase. So for a $1 million mortgage, people are already paying more than $450 a month in repayments from the rate hikes the RBA has already done. That pain's just hitting home now. The reserve, it's very powerful. It takes money out of people's pockets, out of their bank accounts that they can't spend. The RBA probably likes the fact at the moment that people are factoring in that there could be one or two more hikes, and they're maybe pre-budgeting for that and trying to keep the offset account, you know, stocked up so they can keep paying the mortgage if it happens. They don't want us to relax, go out, hit the shops, you know, hit the restaurants and fire up the economy again.
That's right. And so and jawboning being that expression that, yes, obviously they can actually do things to how much people are paying on their that they can actually change the settings, but they can also manage expectations about what are happening in the future. And yes, they don't want people necessarily to think, oh, well, there's rate cuts coming next year, so actually I don't need to be too concerned about these extra payments right now because in the future I'm going to have that money free. So maybe I just bring some of that expenditure forward right now, particularly at a time if there's high inflation, it might make some rational sense to buy now so that you don't pay higher prices later. So they are trying to manage those expectations. They are trying to, they do not want people going out and spending more, too much more than they would otherwise be spending because they think there's going to be a rate cut around the corner.
And it's also why we're likely to get advance warning if there is going to be a rate cut, because A, they don't like to surprise the market and cause financial volatility, and B, part of that jawboning, you know,
yes,
they can
it works
get
in reverse.
They can get some of the benefit of a rate cut just by flagging that they're taking away their tightening bias towards rate increases and that there might be a rate cut in the offing. So if that's what's going to happen in 2027, you'd expect to see their language changing later this year to lay the groundwork where they go to a neutral bias where there could be hikes or cuts, and then eventually an easing bias where a cut is more likely than an increase.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for your insights. That is it for today's special edition of ABC Business Daily. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Make sure you're following us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. And a reminder that we've got a special and different type of special call out for questions with tax time just around the corner. We're planning a special series of bonus episodes unpacking super, write-offs, property and shares, how they might affect you now, and what's in store for the years ahead. So if there's something puzzling you as you get ready to file, you can drop us a line or a voice note at abcbusinessdaily@abc.net.au. Catch you next time, Michael.
See you, Carrington.